Every day. We need to look up and follow the Savior. I like that song. I appreciate that. It fits well with the lesson. I appreciate the song leaders that call me ahead of time and ask me what the theme is. And I know if they do that, they all know half the times I can't tell them, but I do appreciate that. So open your Bibles. We're in that last chapter, chapter 21, and we're going to be picking up here at verse 18. You know, again, it's been a long journey. It's very sad to come to the end of the book of John and do our Bible study from that book. And for me, it truly has been a great joy. It's been a joy. So many things that I've learned and so many things that I've relearned from this book. And it's just simply an amazing trip that we've started back in, I think it was February. And almost now this evening, it's just almost over. And it's kind of sad. And it's mostly because of the very rich ways that John just, he brings out those special things. He shows us the glory of our great God, and he allows us to see those things and to be able to associate those with prophecy. And I believe some of the summaries on the lessons are probably very helpful to drive that point home, to, you know, to put that into perspective. And this morning we looked at John's unique ability to use words to guide us to think a little bit further than maybe some of the other writers. And we know that anybody who's studious, a good student of the Bible, digging in and studying on a regular basis, that you'll be able to connect these kinds of things and bring it all up together to a greater faith. And that is exactly what John wants us to do, is it not? But these things are written, what? So that you may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the God, of God, and that in believing you may have life in His name. That's what John said, and that was his purpose, and so that's what we want to hold to. Therefore, John points out, you know, we had looked this morning, he pointed out there were two times when the reference to fishing was made. They went out late at night, they caught nothing. Two times. Two times Jesus told them, cast your nets over to the other side, and they caught a great catch both times. Peter is grieved in that event there in Luke chapter 5 because he realized that he was a sinner. And twice there was a reference to a fire of coals, if you remember from this morning's lesson. And three times Peter denies Jesus at that warm fire. And three times Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Remember the parallel there. No, I don't know the man. Do you love me, Peter? No, I don't know the man. I'm not one of them. Do you love me, Peter? No, I don't know him. I'm not one of his. Peter, do you love me? And you know what happened? That third time, Peter grieved. Peter understood. I get it. I get it, Lord. You know all things, Lord, and you know I love you. And that's where we're launching from today. In my own words, this morning, is the idea that Jesus told him, if you love me, stop that fishing and feed my sheep. If you love me, quit going out and fishing for fish. Get out there and do what you were asked to do in the beginning. Go out there into the world. Make disciples of men. Remember, that was the commission that he gave them. And there they are in Jerusalem. In Galilee fishing. And Peter got it. And so now we come to this lesson, chapter 21. We're going to be beginning here in verse 18. So we look at this and notice what's being said here. In verse 18, most assuredly I say to you, when you were younger, you were girded yourself and you walked where you wished. But when you were old, you will stretch out your arms and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. And there's your lesson tonight. Follow me. Jesus will now explain to Peter what kind of death he would suffer, and through that death he would glorify God. Jesus tells Peter, he's literally telling everyone, but he's right now he's telling Peter, he's focused on Peter. And what it really means is that if you're going to be my disciple, Peter, count the cost. Because there's going to be a cost. What will happen to him in the future? Well, God only knows, and he does. And in the first part of verse 18, you'll notice what he said. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. He's telling Peter, Peter, there's a time you're going to be able to go anywhere you want, dress the way you want, do what you want. But that won't be the case in the future. When you become my servant, when you are my disciple, there are going to be times when you just are doing the work I called you to do. And so Jesus tells Peter, when you're old, you'll stretch out your arms and your hands. Another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish to go. And when Peter is older, and you think about that, that means that somebody's going to be exerting power over Peter. And we know that none of these things can happen except God allows it. Jesus, nobody could take Jesus by force. Jesus had to allow them. And as far as anything else happens in this world, God is going to be behind much of everything that happens in our lives. But somebody's going to exert power over Peter. And it will bring him to a death. Scholars note that phrase, stretch out your arms, that was a Roman idiom at that time in the Roman Empire, literally for crucifixion. And when it says they will carry you where you do not wish to go, that's another idiom that was used at that time to describe an execution. And Jesus is telling him, Peter, this is you here in the future. And I would imagine that a lot of times somebody might just say, well, I'm out of here. I'm not going to do that. In today's world, I think nearly 2,000 years away from the cross, away from that first century, away from that day of Pentecost, and then I think the zeal has kind of leaked out of many Christians. I think there's a sad day coming when the challenge to be faithful will be met with fear. Jesus is describing the outcome of Peter, and the outcome is a result of Peter following Jesus. Why was Peter told this? You know, this seems like such a harsh thing. It's depressing. It's a terrible ending to the gospel. We've read so many things in the gospel. So many encouraged. Why did Peter? Why now? Why tell Peter he's not going to live out a perfectly peaceful life with the freedoms that should come with being an apostle? Rather, Peter is going to be executed in a most horrible way. A terrible way. In fact, it's going to be in a way that many of the disciples witnessed the Lord himself. So why say this? To understand that, we need to be careful. We need to look again to verse 19. And as we look at that, he spoke signifying what? He spoke signifying what death he would glorify God. He spoke signifying what death he would glorify God. He's Peter. Jesus, he spoke, Peter, he would glorify God through his death. And notice there, Peter's going to suffer. The words he's not told about all the kindness of the world because it isn't there. What he spoke signifying by what death he would glorify God. What kind of death are you going to experience, Peter? He was told what kind of death. And the death is not the subject. It's the glorifying God that's the subject. The disciples asked Jesus, you know, we look a little bit further, John's gospel, in John chapter 9, we were introduced to a blind man. You remember? A blind man. And the people were questioning, the disciples themselves were questioning, you know, this man was born blind from birth, and the disciples are saying, who was it that sinned? Was it his parents? So that he was born blind? Remember the answer that Jesus gave? When the disciples asked that question, it wasn't his parents, nor him. Why then? He was born blind that he should, the works of his death, his blindness, should be revealing God through him. God would be glorified. Neither this man nor his parents, he says, sin, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. And what was the work? He was healed. He received his sight. You see, God is in control from the very, very beginning. You might remember John 14. Remember Jesus' good friend Lazarus. He's sick, and the sickness is unto death. And Jesus, again, he didn't run over there and he could have just healed Lazarus. Certainly he could have. But Jesus doesn't respond right away. Rather, Jesus stays two more days and Lazarus dies. And he told his disciples, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. You see, that was the whole point. Follow me. You're going to die, but it isn't all about your death, Peter. It's because you will glorify God. You see, there's a big cost in following Jesus for many, many, many people. And so we can look at those things and understand them. As God's children now, as his disciples, everything that happens, everything that we do must be to the glory of God. Your life must be lived to the glory of God. Even your diseases, your suffering, even your, your death should be to the glory of God. Everything to the praise and the glory of God. God is to be glorified in everything that we do. God is not to be set aside like on a bench at a football game, you know, and they take that player off the field. God, you don't set God aside. You don't set God aside when we go to work. We don't set God aside when we're enjoying our family and when we have plans to go here or to go there. What we do is we glorify God in the work. We glorify God with our family. We glorify God with all of our plans. All of our activities must glorify God. And we need to be glorifying God in our lives. And it should be easy. It should be easy for everyone in this room to glorify God with your life. It should be very, very easy. And you know why it should be easy? It should be easy because you love Jesus. Can you hear those words? Jesus, do you love me, David? Yes, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. And every one of us should be able to say that. It should be easy because we love Jesus. And you think, we must be ready to glorify God even unto death. Jesus told Peter because he wanted Peter to be ready when the time came. He wanted Peter not to have any surprises. And I think as far as many Christians today, they're not ready. I say that with sadness. There are many people today who claim that I am a Christian. I've even heard people use that word big Christian. When I meet people out there and I you know, are you a believer? I'm a big Christian. I'm a big believer. You know, and that there's debatable things going on there. But everybody it claims to be Christian. And it's disturbing that they say those things, but are distressed over the thought of death. When a disease or sickness comes to kill and blame, they close their mouths. They don't glorify God, challenging God. Why are you allowing this to happen to me? Every moment of life, it should be all about glorifying God. And we must be ready to express that faith. Paul, who was at the end of his life, expressed it very well. And his life, he was able to look forward to glorifying God. Listen, it's all about our love for Jesus and our understanding of His love for us. Consider the way Paul glorified the idea of dying, glorified God, when his death was near. You follow his example in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. We look at that and think about those words, "I have fought the good fight." What's he say? "For I am ready to be, already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." And look at that verse 8. "Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing." Do you love Jesus? Are you following Jesus? Is that love compelling you? "There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." When we ask that question, what is the motive here? I think the answer is right there. Paul's looking ahead. Death isn't the worst thing that can happen. Not following Jesus is the worst thing that can happen. Not be willing to be led where you don't want to go. Not be willing to have your arms stretched out. Not be willing. That's the thing that's so sad. That's what's disturbing. And Paul, there's no qualms about what he believes. He's looking and he knows that ahead is that crown of righteousness. That's where he wants to be. And he's going to follow Jesus wherever the path takes him, even if it means prison, even if it means stoning, even if it means spending time in the deep, being naked, left for dead. I'm going to follow Jesus because I love Jesus and I am looking for that crown of righteousness. You see that? What an amazing testament for the end of life. That's a far cry from the things we hear today. "I can't be here today. I can't associate with people. I'm so afraid I might die." What an amazing testament. Such power, such declaration that the Apostle Paul makes. How can Paul express that kind of faith? I mean, where's it come from? How can he be so ready to die? Remember, he's the one that said, "To live is Christ, to die is gain." And he gives the answer in that text. It's the crown of righteousness. And so as we're looking on here, and Peter asked Jesus where he was going, if you remember that. If you go back and you remember John chapter 13, verse 36. And we're talking about Peter now. And Peter's asking Jesus, "Where are you going?" And Jesus said he was going to be leaving them. And he says, Jesus says, "Where I'm going, you can't follow me, but you will follow afterward." And Peter would fail Jesus three times in that courtyard of the high priest. Peter would be found fishing for fish in Galilee, 78 miles away from Jerusalem, where he should have been preaching the gospel. He's fishing for fish and not for men. And Peter, you know, he's been restored though. Peter's been restored. And he's ready to give his life now for the glory of God. And after saying that there would be a way that Peter would die, we read two more words there in verse 19, and those are the lesson title. He says, then he spoke these things, and in the very end, he spoke to him and said, follow me. Follow me. Not by walking side by side physically with me. Technically, I'm not going to be here very long. Follow me. Follow me in everything you do in life. Follow me with all the strength that you can muster up. Follow me. And this is the only way that we can follow Jesus. Nothing can be left out. We must glorify God with our lives. We must not forsake God in anything. We do not avoid God in any way, and we do not do other things instead of God. That's why you're here tonight. I pray. God is everything to us. And it is, should be, and it is it right now being seen in your lives. And someday when we all go the way of the world, Lord willing, it'll be seen in our death. So many saints have gone before me, and they've done it with grace and with hope. We were just talking about a lady from the book of, from the church in Norton. She's 103 years old. And she just kept saying, I don't know why the Lord doesn't take me. This woman was blind except for one eye. She had to use a big magnifying glass to read. And she read her Bible every single, 20 chapters a day, sitting in her living room. You could walk up on her porch any day of the week, knock on the door, look through the window, and there she is reading her Bible. And she was ready to die. She wanted to die. She was so excited about dying. Didn't scare her at all. You know what she'd say about our virus today? Oh, poof. That's what she would have said. Lorraine Mays. Listen. God is everything. And if you're ready to accept the Lord's call, if you've already accepted the Lord's call, what was the call? Follow me. Follow me. We can't walk up into heaven with Him. While we're on this earth, we need to follow Him. Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward. And so, where are we going? Where are we going? We think about these things, and then the question comes, who else? Because we're talking about Peter. I'm kind of throwing us into that image, but who else? Look at verses 20 through 23. Peter, turning around, saw the disciples whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? And Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. You know, we easily relate to Peter in so many ways. It's so easy to do. So many things that he says and he does. It's just another one of those times where we can certainly relate in some way. After Peter hears that the Lord, he's going to be martyred for Jesus' sake. Peter, you're going to glorify God in your death. You're going to be a martyr. And Peter asks, but what about this man? In other words, who else? Who else is going to be martyred? Am I the only one? If I'm going to suffer this way, Lord, what about all these others? They're going to suffer too, right? What about the other disciples? And you listen to Jesus' response. What did he say? If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. In other words, we cannot base our walk in life, our walk in faith, based upon the walk of others. We can't think, I must suffer, so they need to suffer. I'm not going to go through this alone. And we may not even make it to be an adult. Some of us will die at a young age. Your days may be drastically cut off. We don't know. My granddaughter and I were talking about James, and that would come up here. You know, we don't know what the will of God is for our path. We only know that it's usually different for everybody. We may have great health at 103 years old, like that man that I was talking about earlier. He was 103 years old last week. He drives his car still. He has a half acre of land that he plants a garden and does it and weeds it, and he doesn't take any medication. He works out 5 days a week. And that's just not God's plan for me, because I can pull about 5 weeds and then my back's done. But you think, we're not all on the same path. Well, you may have terrible health. You may have cancer. You may have diseases that are crippling your body. Those of you that have been here, you know there was a lady up here just a couple years ago that was at the Cleveland Clinic. She was dying of cancer. She only had a month or two to live, and she was glorifying God. She came through the doors, and she said she was so excited that God gave her that privilege that she had cancer, but it was a privilege, that cancer, I can glorify God. I'm meeting so many doctors, Dave, and I'm talking to so many doctors about the Lord. I meet so many nurses and caregivers, and all I do is talk to them about the Lord. What a fantastic opportunity. She's glorifying God even in death. Yeah, a disability. You may not live long, long, long lives, but none of that matters. Not one iota. Because life is just life. But here's the point. You know, you have a calling. You have a calling. Jesus is calling. And how life ends, that's none of our concern. Who cares? As a child of God, by that calling, you have a mission in life, and it's not to go fishing. Your mission is simple. Follow Jesus. Obey His commandments, right? If you love me, keep my commandments. He who loves me keeps my commandments. John 15, 14, 14, 15. God is sovereign over life. He's sovereign. It's up to God what happens in the future. It's not up to us. And we have to surrender our lives to Him in truth. We cannot control what's going to happen tomorrow. And we mentioned that earlier here. James chapter 4. I don't think you could say it better. James, he says here, come now you who say today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city and spend a year there, buy and sell and make profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth a little time and then vanish away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, then we'll do this or that. But it's not up to us. We can't control how we die. We can't control when we die, so why worry about it? We can't control the suffering that may come our way, and that's not important. Why is it important or not important? You use what you have. Anything you have, all your resources, all your experiences to glorify God. And to paraphrase that, you know, Jesus says to Peter, you don't worry about John. Don't worry about that other disciple. What matter does that? What does that matter to you? If he remains till I return, Peter, you follow me. We're not following Paul in that sense. We're not following Peter in that sense. We're not following James or John or anybody else. We're following the Word of God, Jesus Christ, and we're following God only. You follow me. And we must follow Him until He comes. And along the way, we glorify God in everything. You know, the gospel concludes, and this is exciting here. That last verse, verse 25, and there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written by one by one, I suppose that not even the world itself, it could not contain the books that would be written. You think of what God's done from before the foundation of the world to the foundation of the world to everything that happened from the world of the created world to right now. And if you tried to write it all down, the world wouldn't be big enough to hold the books. It wouldn't be big enough. That's what he said. That's what he said. John 21:25. That's what he said. There's faith. True faith is faith that follows Jesus all the way to death. Revelation 2:10, you know, remain faithful until death and I will give you the crown of life. Matthew chapter 10, verse 22, but he who endures till the end shall be saved. True faith is Jesus has told his disciples that they may take up their cross daily. Follow him. And these are the words of voluntary sacrifice. You take up your cross, you follow Jesus. Follow me. And it's your decision. It's your choice whether you follow Jesus today or not. It's always been your choice. God certainly is in control of this world. And literally, whether we live or die, we can always look to God, but it's your choice whether you follow Jesus or not. It's entirely up to you. It's your choice if your pain and your suffering is used to glorify God, or if it is your decision that even in death you'll glorify God, then the final analysis, you're living, you're dying, it should all be done to glorify God. Follow me and let your life glorify me. We want to show Christ, not this world, not even our own lives. Jesus, God, the crown of righteousness. We have to look at those things as supreme. Treasure Christ in your life. Serve Him and listen to Him and follow Him with all your heart. You hear that? With all your heart. With all your soul. You hear it? With all your mind. With all your strength, with all your hearing, with all your eyesight, with all your mobility, with all your resources, it's all from God, so use it to glorify God in everything. We all have to challenge ourselves. I think I'm saved. I think I'm a believer. I have faith. Is my faith the faith that I'm reading about here in this chapter and the chapters before in the whole book? Am I able to follow Jesus where'er He goes? In life? In death? Couldn't make it any difference. Were you baptized? Maybe you grew up polishing a pew. Think about your life in Christ. Are you following Jesus? Do you know the scriptures? But you don't see your life following in the footsteps of Jesus through that spiritual walk of faith? You call yourself a disciple of Jesus. Other people do the same thing. What are we devoting ourselves to? Is God the treasure of our hearts? Are we glorifying God? We need to put God, make sure He's the focus of everything in our life. We need to put God in the center of our lives to make every decision, every action, every function to glorify and treasure God and the hope of heaven. And what we do then is we have better lives, we have better marriages, better relationships, better working environments. People praise you because you're a great worker. And you can tell them, well, it's because of Jesus and glorifying God. You have a need tonight? If you've not been baptized, right now is the time to glorify God and to add yourself to the body of Christ. If you have need of repentance, now is the time. Glorify God. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. But now's the time. Today's the day. Whatever you have need of, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.